it's intended that as a body of believers, we all understand that we have a part to play in each other's walk, in our faith, in our way of living, for the sake of God's kingdom. So the whole synopsis is built on the fact that when you read the Bible, when you read the book of Acts, and when you read the letters, the epistles, and when you read all that and look into how we have become as a church, how we operate and how we function, you find there's a disconnect. And so what we're trying to do is not invent something new. We're trying to find our place back to God's word. We're trying to find our way back to the Bible. We're trying to say, how did God want this thing done? We're going back to the blueprint because, hey, I don't like the results in my life. You probably don't like the results in your life. Maybe you don't like the results from one another. And when you are looking into your life and maybe you don't like what you see, it's always wise to go back to the blueprint and say, okay, let's see it. Where did we go off and where did we err in this? And so we are convincing ourselves through God's word that, hey, look, in the Bible, it wasn't just about Paul. It wasn't just about the apostles. You can begin to see that there were a lot of other people that stepped up to the plate, that God used, and it is how they operated when they got together. And it wasn't, church wasn't built on a superstar, it wasn't built on a man, it was built on the foundation of Christ. And so believers all found their place and operated in the same way. My talk this morning, it's amazing, when God is beginning to start something in you, it's amazing when you read the Bible, you begin to see things you've never seen. And it's just been happening to me since God has been starring us in this concept of understanding that we are the church, not this building, not this 90 minutes, not an occasion, not a Sunday thing, but this is who we are, our life called to be. Yeah. I'm reading the Bible and I'm seeing things that I've not seen before. And God is opening my seat. This is what I'm talking about. Wow. Even looking at Philemon last Sunday, Philemon, and see that he was a refreshing God. See that? That's what I'm calling you. That's what I want my people to do. So it's life-changing for me because I'm beginning to see things in God's word that I hadn't seen before. Believe me or not, even after 20 years of being a Christian, you know, having things in the Bible that you've never seen. And so it's been a great journey, very changing on me, on my part. So today, I want to kind of lay a case of why you can't live out God's plan on your own. That's what I want to lay a case out today. See, God has provided you and I every possible need, has provided for every possible need. Anything you would ever need, God has provided for it. It's all found in His word and through His people. His word and through His people. Anything that you'd ever need. There's not one thing that you'd ever need in this life that you can't find in God's word and God's people. And that's how it is. If Jesus, here's the thing. If Jesus is your treasure in this life, you can't help it but need other Christ followers. If Christianity becomes a religious activity in your life, it becomes a check-off thing on a Sunday morning, you can do without other Christians in your life, because it is one stand-up event in your life. It is one isolated thing that happens once a week for 90 minutes. But if Christ is on your mind when you wake up in the morning and Jesus is the treasure of your life, beyond the 90 minutes here, beyond the 4 hours, you can't help it but need others in your life. This is because God built you and I to depend on each other. He designed us not only to need Him, but to need others. That's how He designed us. That's how He built us. And that's what He called us. And my point today, if Christ is the ultimate prize in your life, if He's the cry of your heart, If he means the world to you, then you can't help it but need others. Many of us don't feel truly supported in our walk. Many of us come here and we smile and give each other a high five and hug each other and walk out here. But when life really happens out there, you don't feel the confidence to reach out and get a prayer support or somebody to walk you through what's going on, somebody to build or encourage you, because we don't feel like we have built enough connection with other believers. So we don't have our doors of our lives opened up for other people that God has brought in our lives. So when life really happens out there, we actually try to do it on our own, because that's the best we can do. Because yes, I know a brother church, I know a sister, but I don't feel that biblical connection, that Book of Acts connection, that Bible days connection, that I can't easily step out of my challenge and say, you know, hey, this is going on. What's God's wisdom? Can you pray with me on this? Can you agree on? I know some of you do, but many of us don't. And many people that sit in churches today, I want to tell you that they don't feel that sense of spiritual connection, because there are doors in our lives that we are not willing to open to let anyone else. So what we lack is a spiritual support system. You see, during this time on Sunday morning, this is good, but this is not reality. If your spouse is here, they're nice to you here. But not, you know, this is different. The real life happens out there. Here, everybody's nice to you. Nobody's going to cut you off. Here is safe. It's easy to be saved here. It is easy to be a Christ follower in these 90 minutes in this building.
Yeah, tell the truth.
The devil's waiting for us out there. Yeah, tomorrow, Monday morning, Tuesday morning, he's going to come. But who supports you? Or who are you supporting? Is there a network in your life that will support you when things... You see, here's the thing. We can know people for years. But a year can go by and we've never had them pray for us, support us in our walk with God. Because we're almost, as a church, we're almost fake. We're almost fake in what we do. The truth of the matter, there's a devil out there that fights you and I. We have a common enemy. We have the same Holy Spirit. We have the same Father. And we have the real devil out there. And you can't fight him alone. I can't fight him alone. I need you to fight with me. You need me to fight with you. We need to go out at him against together, because he's coming at us together. It is what happens. It's what's going on. So today, I hope that I can encourage you today to really build a spiritual support network in your life and to see why this matters. Here's some scriptures that I want us to look at. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 19. They have lost what? Look at that. They've lost connection. They've lost the sense of knowing that I'm not alone. They've lost connection with the head. Who's the head? Now think about that. They've lost connection with Jesus, from whom the whole body, who's the body? Us, supported and held together. Supported. In other words, God's intent is that you and I feel supported. It's not about you coming here and get a hug. No, it's you feeling supported on Thursday, on Friday, when you're about to be tempted into something and feel the support. Supported and held together by its ligaments and sinews and growths as God causes it to grow. But I want you to see the word language here is supported and held together. But can we build a spiritual support system in our lives where we feel supported? Yes. When you can't fight, When you don't know what to do, when you're tempted to drink that Friday, but you feel support enough to call out and reach out, that support is what we talk about, held together, where you never feel like you're fighting alone, and just you're connected. There's a connection. This is the language in the Bible. Look at Ephesians 4:16. From him, who? Jesus, right? The whole body, who? Us. So you see, Jesus, us, right? Joined and held together. Amen. Held together. By everyone. Supporting. Supporting. In other words, God says, I need you to support somebody, and you need to be supported by somebody else. We gotta have support, because the devil is real, the battle is real, the war is real, right? And we gotta be supported, because that's when we grow. That's when we grow, because we all want to grow, right? But look, the results of not being supported and held together is lack of growth. I'm talking about your spiritual growth. You look at yourself, like, have you grown spiritually? Have you grown closer to Jesus? Have you overcome some things in your life? Are some things that you started this year as struggles, have they quit on you? Or are you still having the same struggle you had last year? Are you still having the same sucking prayer life? If that's the same, you haven't grown. If you still have the same battles you had last year, you haven't grown. If you still can't do what you couldn't do, you have not grown. That's just the truth of the matter. But the reason we're not growing is because we're not supported, because we're not connected, because I'm not allowing you to come into my life and help me grow, and I'm not coming to your life to grow. Why do we put kids in environments, in homes? Because they grow by interacting with those who are older. They go in school, they grow, because they interact, there's a connection. And Jesus says, hey, if there is no supporting connections within our life, it hinders our growth. Look at the next verse, supporting and then grows and builds. So we want to grow, right? We want to get closer. You want to look at, like, you know, when I started my walk with Jesus at the beginning of this year, I'm not where I used to be. My prayer life has changed. My commitments have changed. Everything about him has changed. I've overcome something. It'll be a good story, right? But it comes from being supported by each other. Look at Colossians 2:2 says that their hearts may be encouraged, may be supported. Be what? Knit together. I want to ask you a genuine question. Do you feel knit together? Do you really feel knit together? Does somebody really know your battle? Does somebody really fight alongside you? Does somebody really pray with you? Is somebody coming alongside you in your walk to fight with you? Said, being knit together in love, which all the riches of portions of understanding and knowledge of God, which is Christ. This is all about Jesus working this in our lives, ladies and gentlemen. You see, no matter how anointed you are, if you are going to follow Christ and be a fully devoted follower of Christ, you're going to need others. It doesn't matter how anointed you are or how intelligent you are. You're going to need that. You're going to need somebody else in your life. You see, our group, you know, where Troy and Pete and Derek and I, you know, we have a group where we just pray together, you know, as we have encouraged the church, you know, have a group and come and support each other. Well, last week, Troy was out in Texas. You know, he was giving me this testimony. This is his testimony, not my testimony. But on our prayer group on Thursday night, we say, you know, he's in Texas for his son's wedding. Let's pray for him. Yes? And we pray for him. He's not on the line. But guess what was happening to him that Thursday while he was in Texas? He made a reservation of a car, a van, because he had more people to go to the wedding. And he gets there at the reservation like, yes, you did, but we don't have it for you. And he's got 6-7 people. He's like, what do I do now? Then God opened the door that night. And someone opened and he got the car he needed. But you know what? There was a bunch of other brothers out here lifting him up. You know, praying for her. There's more that happens when we connect and we're able to support each other and stay engaged and really make time for that. You remember when we talked about Philemon? Philemon had a support system. So did Paul, right? Look in Philemon chapter 1. Paul says, Paul, a prisoner of Christ, and Timothy. So that means Timothy was in Paul's support system, spiritual support system. Paul was very anointed. Great man of God, but he's like, hey, I got Timothy too. Yes. I'm not alone. I don't fight alone. I don't do this alone. And of course, he's also to Philemon and all that. But I want to show you other scriptures where Paul, you see the people in his life. Today when we talk, everywhere you go in church, you hear Paul, Paul, Paul. You read about Paul, Paul, Paul. But we don't talk about these people that made Paul be Paul or played a big part in Paul's life. In our eyes, we may think, oh, Paul was great. But Jesus says, hey, there's a lot of great people you all don't know about. Maybe when you get to heaven, we'll introduce you to them. You're like, who was that? Well, those are the people that supported Paul. And therefore, they have a reward in heaven. We never knew about them, but they did their part. Their part was not to be like Paul. Their part was to fit into Paul's life and help Paul and do the work that God has called him to, because everyone has a part to play, right? So here are some of the people that we find. Look at it. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, send you greetings. But we don't know Epaphras. We don't read. But Paul's like, hey, he's important enough, and I'm going to talk about it. Because he's in my spiritual support system, Epaphras. Now, we don't know what Epaphras did for Paul, that Paul felt the need to say, hey, I got to acknowledge this man. But him and Jesus know. And when we get to heaven, we may know all about Epaphras. But right now, we don't. But he matters. He counted because he was involved. Paul was not alone. Look at the next verse. And so do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, and Luke, my fellow workers. Paul is like, I'm not alone. I have a spiritual support system. I have men in my life. I have people in my life. I have people that I do this Christian walk with. There are people I walk with that support me, that I support. And we all work together to do what God has called us to do. All right? Now check the next verse. Here he says, and that is verse 2 of Philemon. He says, now, these were Philemon's support people, support system. He says also to, because verse 1, he says to Philemon, our brother. And then he says also to Aphia, our sister, and brother Archie, and our fellow soldier, and to the church that meets in your home. He's talking to Philemon. Say, Philemon, you got people. I know the people that support your life. I know of Aphia. I know of Archie. And I know the others that meet with you. Why? Because even though these people were great, they needed others. Paul needed a support system. So did Philemon needed a spiritual system. My case today, I want to convince us that we also need a spiritual support system. We got to take this Christian walk to the next level, right? Look at Acts 19:29. Soon the whole city was in uproar. The people seized Gaius and Aristarchus. Now you remember Aristarchus was also in the previous verses, right? Paul's what? Think about that. Paul didn't travel alone. He didn't do the work alone. He didn't walk this Christian walk alone. He had people. He had a support system. He had a spiritual support system in his life. And he says, hey, they got me, but they also got Gaius and Aristarchus. We're all in prison, you know, because they're my people. We're in this together. Even though Paul preached, like, yeah, you're with him. He had a spiritual support. Paul, think about it. Paul had a spiritual support system. Paul had people that walked with them. And he says, Paul's traveling from Macedonia, and all of them rushed into the theater together. You see? Now, here's another verse. Acts 27, verse 2. He says, we, not I. We. Because he wasn't alone. He didn't fight alone. He didn't walk alone. He didn't go to church and give hugs and then go be alone all week and try to do Christianity alone. He had people that he walked with. He says, we boarded a ship from that place, about to sail for ports along the coast of the province of Asia, and we put out to sea. And would go check this one. And who again? Aristarchus, a Macedonian from Thessalonica, was with us. Paul is putting emphasis. You see, he's talking about this because it matters. It matters, guys. Now, let's continue. I want to show you a few more. My fellow prisoner. So, don't you want to get to heaven and meet this Aristarchus? You know, he mattered in Paul's life. He really did. He's got his rewards waiting on him. But he says, sends you his greetings, as does Mark, the cousin of Barnabas. You have received instructions about him. If he comes to you, welcome him. Now, look at verse 14. Verse 9. He says, be diligent to come to me quickly. Why? He's vulnerable. He's like, you know what? I'm anointed. I've seen visions. I've seen revelations. God has used me mightily. But I need you. I need you. He's like, I want to see you. Come to me quickly. The world tells us, if you're vulnerable to let others know you need them, you're weak. Is that what they say? We're trained that I'm strong all by myself and I can do bad all by myself. I'm good just by me. I don't need you. I don't need you. That's the lie the devil is giving us. I don't need you. And I'm going to act like I don't need you because I am all good by myself. And the greatest man in the Bible says, be diligent to come to me quickly. Because I need you. Many times we don't want to be vulnerable to need others in this spiritual walk because we're afraid, what if they bail out on us? What if I open up the door and then they go out of my life? What if I open up and then they fail me? What if I let them into my life and they turn away? What if I invite them in and then they disappoint me? You know, the good news is it might happen. But because that's going to happen doesn't mean we can't do what God's calling us to do. Just because people will walk out of our lives and let us down and maybe we open the door into our lives and then they just, doesn't mean we shouldn't do what we're supposed to do. Right? Just because you had a bad dentistry experience doesn't mean you stop going to the dentist. You just find another. You just keep going, right? You see, even Paul had people walk out in his life. You're like, come on. How could somebody walk out of Paul's life? I mean, would you want to be around Paul? Just be around him and listen and see the revelation. Wouldn't you love to be? But he had people walk out in his life because it's going to happen. People will walk out. And many of us, when people walk out, we just close the door forever. But Paul, that happened. So here's what he says. For Demas has forsaken me. Think about that. Demas has forsaken me. Having loved this present world, the brother has backslid. The brother has gone back into the world, has walked away from faith, has walked away from Jesus. He's gone back to the present. He's like, I want the world, man. I'm tired of Jesus and everything. He backslid. He walked away. And Paul's like, this was my friend. This was in my spiritual support system. This was a guy that I was praying with, reading the Bible together, in fellowship together. We did God together. We walked together. And he has deserted me because he loves the world more than Jesus. So that's going to happen. This is Saint Demas, Brother Demas here. Look, this is Brother Demas in a company of Paul, in faith, loves Jesus, sends greetings to others. So we don't know what happened to Brother Demas? Because eventually he left the world. Because that's going to happen. And has departed for Thessalonica. That's like departing for L.A. or New York or something. And it says, Christ has gone to Galatia and Titus today. So I think these other ones have just gone to do ministry somewhere. So Paul is like, I'm alone. I don't want to be alone. I understand that I can't do this alone. These people that I've had in my circle, this one has gone to the world. These ones have gone out to other ministry. We've sent them. So be quickly, come to me. That's what it says here. Be diligent to come to me quickly because I can't be alone any longer. I can't be doing this by myself too long. Because this is a situation. But the devil tells us, you are fine all by yourself. And I'm saying, God is saying, no, you and I need a spiritual support system in our lives. He says, only Luke is with me. He's like, bring Mark and bring him with you, for he's useful to me. You see that? He's useful to me. Like, bring those people. Because I have Luke, but, you know, Luke is great. But I need some more people. I need a more spiritual support system. I need three other brothers, four other brothers that I can pray with. I need three other Christians that I can talk with during the week, that I can build a relationship with, that I can pray with and support each other in our walk with God. I know in our culture today, we are far from that. We've walked from that. But if we're in Christian Center, we're trying to go back to the Bible. We're seeing how they did it. We need to do it the same way. We can't keep doing church the way we've always done them. Because we can't make it just a Sunday 90 minutes. We got to say, this is Jesus. Jesus is our life. We're going to do it God's way. And we want to do it God's way, ladies and gentlemen. Right, so that's what Paul did, ladies and gentlemen. Look at that. And now, in Philemon chapter 6, verse 6, it says, I pray that your partnership with us in the faith may be effective. Now think about partnership. Why? Because it's a support. It's a spiritual, it's a connection, it's knit together. We're partners together because partnership means I'm not Saul, I'm not alone. I need you, you need me. We're in this together. We're going to walk and follow Jesus together. I don't want to walk alone. And he says, yeah, we got a partnership together in following Jesus, in walking for Jesus. I need you to grow, you need me to grow. We depend on each other. But he says, I want it to be effective. And that's the goal, right? We don't just want to have it on paper, but want to have it what? Effective. Effective meaning that we can pray for each other every week. Right? That we can talk with each other every week and encourage each other every week. That we can create that time in our lives. Now, let me ask you, ladies and gentlemen. If Paul was vulnerable enough to realize that how great he was, how anointed he was, how powerful he was, how he wrote 2/3 of the Bible, he was vulnerable enough to say, hey, I need you. How much more you and I? How much more do you and I need? Can we vulnerable enough and say, you know what? If I'm going to be Christ follower, if Jesus is going to be the treasure of my life, I can't help it but need others. Paul knew that if Jesus, because Jesus was his treasure, Jesus was, Paul knew by the fact that Jesus is everything to him, he's like, I need others. Because the more I push into Jesus, the more I see the value that others bring. Because God never created any of us to not need or depend on each other. So Paul didn't need an entire church. He needed a few people. He needed 3-4 people. He needed 5 people just to be in his circle, just to connect with, just to pray with. That support system, that spiritual support system is a partnership that you and I have to build to make room for in our lives. Let's do baloney like I don't have time and there's no time in my life. You can make time. It's important. It matters if you want to follow Jesus, if we want to finish to the end, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to need this. Amen. So, I know some of us, our groups are going well. But if you're here and maybe you got into a group, but you haven't talked at all. The only time you talk to each other is when you come here. But during the week, it's not functioning, it's not working. You're not really getting it done. It's because maybe the schedules don't work for you. It could be maybe the times don't work for you. And you want to, but the group you're in, the times don't work for you. My goal, my desire is to have everybody connected. Because that's what the Bible says, being in it together, every part, everyone, connected, praying, encouraging, we're growing it together, we're building each other. You see, there's a handful of people that are not here today. I wish they were here to listen, but maybe if you are connected, you can reach out, you pray for them, you find out how they're doing. You know, whatever it is, you're doing ministry, you're being a disciple, you're helping others love Jesus, follow Jesus. We're going back to the Bible. We're trying to do church where God will sit in the Bible. So here's something I'll have for you today. If you're here, you're like, you know, I kind of have a group, but that group doesn't work. The times don't work for me. I'm not able to connect with other people, but I want to connect. I want to have a spiritual support system in my life, just like Paul did. I want to have one too. Please fill this out and give it to Dion. But this is what it says. You put your name, your phone number there, and then you list 2 days that work best for you. You say, you know, the first day that works best for me is a Wednesday. The next one that works best for me is a Friday. You put those days there. And then you put the times. You put like 2 optional times, the time that you prefer and the time. Then what we're going to do is we're going to try to match you with somebody's time that works for you.